From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. Next month, millions of borrowers will have to start paying on their student loans after 3.5 years of a break from the federal government. Now, the loans went on hold during COVID, but now, after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling against the Biden administration, the program is coming back online. However, as many as 5,000 people here in Idaho will have their loans forgiven, and others may be able to knock down their payments to $0 a month. Yes, you heard that right, $0. Corey Turner is our correspondent for the NPR Ed team, and he wrote an article recently about the 12 things student loan borrowers should know about the return to repayment. So we asked him to come here on Idaho Matters and explain what's happening with this program. Corey, really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for asking me, Gemma.
So, Corey, a lot has changed over the past 3 years. What's the first thing that folks should know about getting back into this process?
I think the first thing that I would say folks need to do is accept that they need to do this. Honestly, I've talked to so many borrowers in the last couple of months who, you know, it's just been so long, as you said, 3.5 years. And with student loans, you know, folks just a lot of times tend to put this stuff off. They don't want to go online. They don't want to pick up the phone. They don't want to look at the loan balance. But that time is here. Interest started accruing at the beginning of this month, September. Payments are going to start coming due next month, October. Folks really need to go online, log into their accounts, no matter how long it's been, and they need to get updated, make sure they're in a repayment plan, and get back on track.
Okay, so if you have to start repaying your loan, how do you know what plan to use, Corey? Because there's a couple of them, correct?
Yeah, there are a bunch of them, actually. The way I think about it is this way. It all boils down to really one question a borrower needs to ask themselves, which is more important to you. Do you want to pay off your loans quickly enough so that you're not actually paying that much in interest over the long haul? Or is the most important thing to you a really affordable monthly payment, even if that is, as you said in your intro, maybe a $0 monthly payment, but you might actually end up paying a whole lot more in interest over the long run. That's the difference. So the former, paying off as quickly as you can, would be, say, the standard repayment plan or a graduated repayment plan where you've got fixed payments over roughly 10 years. And then there are the income-driven plans, which are much more flexible. They're going to go up or down depending on your income, but you might be paying on those plans for 20 or 25 years, depending on whether you have undergraduate debts or graduate debts.
And my understanding is, Corey, that the Department of Education has a loan simulator so you can kind of figure out what your payment options are.
That's right. The first most important thing borrowers can do is go to studentaid.gov/restart. And there they will find the federal government's primer, really a step-by-step guide for borrowers on how to get back on track. And that includes, as you said, Gemma, a really cool loan simulator where you input your income, how much student loan debt you have, what kind of debt it is, even where you went to school, how big your family is. And that can give you a pretty accurate sense of what your monthly payment is going to look like. And even if you're curious about one of these income-driven repayment plans, especially the new one, which is called SAVE, potentially how much of your debt you might qualify to have forgiven by the government after you've been in repayment for 20 years.
Okay, so let's talk about this SAVE plan. Because this is the one where you can actually work out a $0 payment every month?
Yep, and you could do that before. It's just under SAVE, a whole lot more borrowers will qualify for that $0 payment.
Okay. So is it true then, Corey, that some folks may get their loans forgiven altogether?
So yes, although it's a little complicated. Basically, what's happening, there are two different things happening at once. So you've got the SAVE repayment plan that borrowers can enroll in. And it is a much more generous income-driven repayment plan than really anything that's come before. Lots of borrowers are going to qualify for $0 payments. I think the individual standard is for folks who file their taxes individually. If they earn less than, I think, $33,000 a year, they'll qualify for a $0 monthly payment. And then if they have undergraduate loans, they need to be in repayment for 20 years to qualify for forgiveness. And if they have graduate school loans, it's 25 years. But Gemma, one really interesting thing that's happening right now is at the very same time the Ed Department is rolling this out, they're also doing this thing behind the scenes that they're calling a one-time account adjustment. And basically it's because of a whole bunch of problems with previous income-driven repayment plans that NPR has investigated and found a year and a half ago that these plans were just not working well. They're not being implemented well. And so what the Ed Department is doing behind the scenes is trying to give borrowers credit for time spent in repayment, no matter what kind of loan they had or what kind of repayment plan they were in. And once they get that sort of retroactive credit, that will apply then to these forgiveness windows of 20 or 25 years. So I was just talking to a borrower the other day who's been in repayment almost 20 years. He's going to get a bunch of this retroactive credit. He just signed up for the SAVE plan, but he should qualify with this extra credit to have his loans erased probably in March or April.
Okay. So in the article that you wrote recently, one of the issues you brought up, one of the problems, frankly, for borrowers is that so much has changed over the last 3.5 years. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because one of the issues is that a lot of these, loan servicers don't even exist anymore.
Yeah. Again, another thing that borrowers wouldn't necessarily know. Why would they? They're not a nerd like me who has to follow this industry. But yeah, I think it's something like 4 in 10 borrowers, when they log into their accounts are going to realize, oh, I have a different servicer now. In fact, two of the biggest loan servicers, got out of the business, during the pandemic. And this matters because, well, number one, borrowers are going to have to go to a different website. The good news for them is if they go to the site I mentioned, which is the federal government's student loan site, again, that's studentaid.gov. If they go there and log in, it will tell them who their servicer is. And then they can get on track. It is important, though, they need to make sure they go to their servicer's website and make sure their contact information is up to date. Because whether or not their servicer knows where they live, interest is going to start accruing. And it's really important for borrowers to get back onto a pay schedule because that interest is happening, right? It's inevitable. Whether or not they're making payments. It's better to get everything up to date so that interest isn't ballooning and you're not making any progress.
Okay, so what exactly is the public service loan forgiveness?
So public service loan forgiveness has been around for a while. I believe it goes back to 2008. It's basically it was supposed to be a pretty simple agreement where folks who serve in some sort of public function, they work for a nonprofit, they work in government, they teach, they're a paramedic, 10 years of service, they qualify to have their federal student loans erased after those 10 years of service. Now, the program was a mess up until a couple of years ago. No one was getting through. It felt like a broken promise, and borrowers were deeply cynical about it. I will say the Biden administration has worked really hard to try to straighten it out so that it doesn't feel like a broken promise anymore. So I would suggest to borrowers who have been working in public service to give it another shot. I've heard from a lot of borrowers who've told me, I didn't even bother applying because I just thought it's a mess. And the last I heard, it was still a mess. Well, I would tell those borrowers that it's not. And now is the time to explore it because it's some of these other things that are happening, like the one-time account adjustment, that will actually help borrowers get more qualifying credit towards public service loan forgiveness. But time is ticking.
So let's talk about those folks who have defaulted on their loans. What should they be doing?
Yeah, so there are 7 million of them by last count. So they are in good company. And the good news for borrowers who are in default is that it is now easier to get back into good standing than I think it ever has been. You know, one of the strange things about the system in the past is that once borrowers defaulted, it was actually quite hard for them to qualify for the most flexible income-driven repayment plan, which didn't make a lot of sense, but that's the way it was. That is no longer true. What borrowers need to do now is go to studentaid.gov, either talk to their servicer or reach out to the education department directly through that website and say, I am interested in a program called Fresh Start. It was rolled out a little while ago by the Biden administration. And it's basically a fast track, or it's meant to be a fast track for borrowers in default to get back into good standing. So there's no risk of them having their wages garnished or their tax refund or their Social Security clawed back. And they can qualify for this new repayment plan called SAVE, which is quite flexible.
So, Corey, I've read your articles. I've even though having this conversation with you, this is still really overwhelming. And
I know it's weird. Let me just admit, right? Gemma, like I hear the words coming out of my mouth and I have this inner dialogue where I'm saying, gosh, Corey, this is still too complicated. Stop already. It is. I hear that.
But with that said, I mean, I guess bottom line is this: best advice then for folks who, you know, who are in this repayment plan, right? That they have these loans. And I'm just sitting here honestly being like, this is overwhelming. If I had student loans, I don't know where I would start.
At the risk of sounding like a broken record, folks really need to go to studentaid.gov/restart. Okay. And again, speaking to some of the cynicism I've heard from borrowers in the past, where education department resources were badly written and hard to find. Like, I hear that. I've been covering this for almost 10 years. They are better now. There are a lot of people inside the education department who know this is hard, who know this is complicated, and who are trying very hard not to overwhelm borrowers. So I really encourage borrowers to go to the website first. And also, we haven't mentioned, Gemma, I would encourage borrowers to do that also because right now, for lots of very complicated reasons, it might be hard to get a call center worker on the phone to answer their questions with their loan servicer.
Okay. So very quickly, I only have about a minute left with you. Do you think we'll see another loan forgiveness program coming out of the Biden administration?
Do you mean like a big sweeping program, like the one the Supreme Court
like the one
down?
That they tried to do originally?
So they're technically still working on a more process-oriented approach to revive that through something called negotiated rulemaking. What I would say to borrowers is, don't get your hopes up. There are other options out there. No one can afford to wait for whatever that plan B is. Like, it's not happening anytime soon, if it happens at all.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate this conversation. I mean, and you know, the articles that you've written, but also just the simple advice of where people start this process to figure this out. Because as you said, this starts in October.
It does, with or without borrowers. So
right, exactly. Well, we really appreciate your time. We've been talking with Corey Turner. He's a correspondent for the NPR Ed team. He wrote an article about the 12 things student loan borrowers should know about the return to repayment. We will put a link to that article on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths, wherever you get your podcasts.